Beloved, praise the Lord. You are tuned in to Pentecost Hour, religious broadcast sponsored by the Church of Pentecost headquarters. In this edition, the chairman of the Church of Pentecost, Apostle Eric Kwabena Nyameche, speaks to the topic, "The Church has called out to worship." Stay tuned in. For I'm building a people of power, and I'm making a people of praise that will move through this land by my spirit and will glorify my precious name. Build a church, Lord, make us strong, Lord, join our hearts, Lord, through your Son. Make us one, Lord, in your body, in the kingdom of your Son. Build a church, Lord, make us strong, Lord, join our hearts, Lord, through your Son. Make us one, Lord, in your body, in the kingdom of your Son.
Lord, make us strong, Lord, join our hearts, Lord, through your Son. Make us one, Lord, in your body, in the kingdom of your Son. Build your church, Lord, make us strong, Lord, join our hearts, Lord, through your Son.
The writer of the book of Hebrews also tried to push this point very forcefully. Hebrews chapter 13, 15 and 16. Hebrews 13, 15 and 16. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a what? A sacrifice of praise. Then he explained it. The fruit of lips that confesses his name, the sacrifice of praise. So that is the adoration part. Let us offer to God the sacrifice of praise, the fruit of our lips. We bless you, Lord. We will celebrate our God. Let his banner be raised. Let his glory be seen. We jump, we celebrate. We give God festival, great festival. We want him to be happy. But he didn't end there. The writer of the book continued. And do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices, God is pleased. So the first part is good, but say, don't forget there's another part. The other one is doing good and serving. So worship is both. You put the two together. Why is it so? Why is it so? See, worship in the New Testament involves all we do. Involves all we do. Now, we will be able to understand this when we go to John 4, when Jesus met the Samaritan woman. They discussed worship. The two of them actually discussed worship. And Jesus gave us the meaning of worship. And he told us what is going to happen in future. And the future has come. And we need to move from the Jewish kind of worship to the New Testament worship. What did Jesus say to the woman? John chapter 4. I want you to understand the word of God. Then change yourself and change your world. That is why we come to church. Nothing less, nothing more. So try to receive something. John chapter 4. John chapter 4. Let's start from verse 16. We'll read it to maybe 24. He told her, "Go call your husband and come back." Now the conversation started with, "Can you fetch me some water?" And now it has moved to, "Go and call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands," not five concubines. This is husbands. So Jesus is not saying that you are a harlot. Maybe she was duly married, but the marriage did not work. So I want to take what Jesus is saying rather than reading into it. Jesus said, "You have had five husbands." Any woman in this case is a miserable person. If you duly marry one, two, three, four, five times, and all of them divorce you, then you are a miserable person. And you can't take people like that for granted. I don't believe that she had gone there with some kind of eyes to seduce Jesus. No. Jesus thought that she had to help this woman out. Think about that vis-a-vis what you have been hearing. This is scripture. You have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. So this man is not married to her. What you have just said is quite true. "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet." So the discussion becoming very, very interesting. They have moved from fresh water, and then they are talking about prophetism. So it's getting close to worship. Now let's see how Jesus will draw this woman into what he wants. "Our ancestors," that is the woman, "worship on this mountain. But you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." So places of worship has been a conflict. "Woman," Jesus replied, "believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem." So Jesus is not telling the woman that what you are saying is false. Jesus is a Jew. She is a Samaritan. They agree that one of the means of division is the place of worship. Jesus did not dispute that. He says, "I agree, but believe me, a time is coming." So at the time that they were discussing what the woman was saying, it was true. But a time is coming. Jesus was pointing her to a day that was ahead. A time is coming. "You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know. For salvation is from the Jews." That is a typical Jew trying to tell her that she knows how to quarrel. You worship what you don't know. We worship what we know. Yet Jesus moved on and said, "Yet a time is coming." To those who knew or those who did not know, a time is coming. "And has now come. And when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks." That kind of worshipers, not members of PIWC, Kokomrimri, but God is looking for a kind of worshipers. He's seeking for them to use a kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit. God is what? Spirit. You can't boss God here. No, you see, if God will not live in a Jew pencil, he will not live in the dome. He will not. That one is solidly built. If he cannot live there, he will not live in tent. God does not live in houses built with hands. He does not. Because God is what? God is what? God is what? So you can't contain him anywhere. That is what Jesus is trying to say. So he's neither going to be on the mountain, he's not in the mountain. Or you can't say, this is where we have to worship God. You can't keep him there because God is spirit. And you can't keep him in Jerusalem because God is spirit. A time is coming. A time is coming. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in the spirit and in truth. Now listen to the woman. I like this woman. When we go to heaven, I'm sure I will look for her. The woman said, I know that Messiah called Christ is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. When the Messiah comes, all this confusion, he will explain it better to us. So that we will know whether it's in Jerusalem or on this mountain. That is what the woman is trying to say. Then listen to Jesus. The only place that Jesus revealed himself as the Messiah is here. Because the woman is saying that when the Messiah comes, he will explain this thing. So she's trying to put the argument to a close. And Jesus said, then Jesus declared, I, the one speaking to you, I am he. One speaking to you, I am he. Now, when he said that, the woman left the jar, went straight to Samaria. I have seen it because she has been convinced already. So when the man said, I am he said, no, wait, I'm going to call all Samaritans to you. Remember that Jesus, John and James and co decided to go to Samaria and they wanted to stone them. That was where John said, can't you call tender? And Jesus said, hey, I've changed your name. You are called son of tenders. You, James and John, stop. But the woman brought the whole Samaria to him. That is what it means to be born again. Change life. The one she was not even prepared to give water to drink. Now she is prepared to bring the whole town to him. That is a born again person. When you meet Jesus, you can never be the same again. Oh, you're sad. Thank you very much. For the sake of time, what was happening then? Why is Jesus says a time is coming? What was the Jewish worship like? The one that Jesus even thought was okay than the Samaritan one that they worship on the mountain. Three things were needed in worship those days. Three essential things had to be present to make worship complete. The first one is you needed a temple. You needed a temple. That is why all the Jews will go to Jerusalem. Because you have to go towards the temple. You have to go to the temple or to the tabernacle. You go there and you meet the priest. You need a priest. You need a priest. Then the third one is you need a sacrifice. Something to offer to God. So three things. You need a temple. Place of worship. You will need a priest to receive the sacrifice and do the sacrifice on your behalf, and then you will need a sacrifice. Now, but all these three things, Jesus said a time is coming. He's going to work on it so that these essentials will be able to somehow do, so that you don't have to go to Jerusalem or climb a certain mountain. So that you don't need to go to a certain priest to accept your sacrifice. Jesus was going to work on it so that the worship of God becomes God is spirit. God is everywhere. So that wherever you are, you can worship your God than going to the mountain or going to Jerusalem. Are we together? What did Jesus do? In fact, Jesus is the end of the law. Anything that is in the law ended in him. It culminated in him. And Jesus began a new society called the church. Hallelujah. Now, so let's look at the temple. The temple. John 2, 19 to 21. This is what Jesus said concerning the temple. Jesus answered them, destroy this temple and I will raise it again in 3 days. They replied, it has taken 46 years to build this temple, and you are going to raise it in 3 days? But the temple he had spoken of was his body. What does that mean? He's going to replace his body with the temple. What does that mean? Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 to 22. Hebrews 10, 19 to 22. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most high place by the blood of Jesus, we have confidence to enter the most high place by who? The blood of Jesus. By a new and living way open for us through the curtain that is his body. Now the curtains have been opened. And he says that he has replaced the curtains by his body. When he died, he has opened that curtains free for all of us. He is in fact replacing the temple with his body. The temple that he says destroy, in 3 days time I will build. And the Bible says he was speaking about his body. He was saying that there is going to come a time that this body of mine will be planted in the belly of the earth. But the third day, this body will rise again. And then that is going to be the new temple. Not that which was in Jerusalem or on the mountain in Samaria. That is the temple. So Jesus deals with the temple by his body. So his body becomes the temple. Now, let's look at the sacrifice. The sacrifice. The sacrifice, according to Hebrews 9:22, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. So the worship in the Old Testament required the shedding of blood. So you always have to go there with gold or something. If you don't have money at all, there's a negotiation to come a flower or some dove. But by all means, there's something that you have to go to the high priest or the priest with a sacrifice. But Hebrews chapter 10, I want us to read this one together. Hebrews chapter 10 from verse 4. Because it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Therefore, when Christ came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offerings you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. Now, he says God prepared a body for him because he, Jesus, is God and God is spirit. So for Jesus to come into the womb of a woman, that was for God to give him body. With burnt offerings and sin offering, you were not pleased. Verse 7. Then I said, here I am. It is written about me in the scroll. About me, Jesus, in the law, in the scroll. I have come to do your will, O God. I have come to do your will. First, he said, sacrifice and offerings, burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not desire, nor were you pleased with them. So God was not pleased with them. Although the law required them to be made. Are we together? The law required that, but God was not pleased with that. God has something better in his mind. As Jesus said, a time is coming. Now verse 9. Then he said, here I am. I have come to do your will. He sets aside the first to establish the second. Which is the first and which is the second? The first is the requirement of the sacrifices, the blood that came from bulls and sheep and all that. So he said he sets aside the first and then what? Establish the second. So all that used to be under the law, Jesus has set it aside effectively. And he has established the second, which is the second. Then he said, here I am. I have come to do your will. He set aside the first to establish the second, which is the second, verse 10. And by that will, we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ. Once for all. So when Jesus died on the cross, he died, but with his body, he set aside the first and established the second. By his death, he dealt away with the temple worship and established a new one. Now, what are we left with? The priests. So we have dealt with the temple. He has dealt with the sacrifices. What about the priesthood? Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7. Start from verse 11. Hebrews 7 from verse 11. If perfection could have been attained through the Levitical priesthood, and indeed the law given to the people established that priesthood, why was there still need for another priest to come? One in the order of Melchizedek, not in the order of Aaron. The Levitical priesthood established. God himself said, Aaron and his children will be priests. That is the Levitical priesthood. Then he says that God has somehow changed it. But he's going to explain. For when the priesthood is changed, the law must be changed also. He of whom these things are said belong to a different tribe. The new priest belongs to a different tribe. Otherwise, for you to be a priest, you must be what? A Levite. Belong to a different tribe. And no one from that tribe has ever served at the altar. For it is clear that our Lord descended from Judah. In regard to that tribe, Moses said nothing about priests. Are we together? Yeah. And what we have said is even more clear. If another priest like Melchizedek appears, one who has become a priest not on the basis of a regulation as to his ancestry, but on the basis of the power of an indestructible life. Now listen, he says that he has become a priest, not because of his ancestry, not because he's a Levite, but he has changed that rule by the power of his indestructible life. The life that was buried, that was raised again, that power has changed the priesthood. I want you to get it. Power of an indestructible life. Verse 17. For it is declared, you are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. Now, he will explain why he says he's a priest forever. Let's go to that. Let's read this one together. Ready, go. The former regulation is because it was and we can use it. What was the former regulation? You needed a priest. The priest will go to the Holy of Holies even to atone for his own sins once a year. And they don't live forever, they die. That, but the Bible said that one was useless. The former one has been set aside. Verse 19. For the law made nothing perfect, and a better hope is introduced by which we draw near to God, all of us. And it was not without an oath. Now listen. Others became priests without an oath. When you became a priest, God will not swear that I swear you are a priest forever. That is why even Aaron died. So they come and they die. But this one, God changed the order and he made him a priest by oath. But he became a priest with an oath when God said to him, the Lord has sworn, will not change his mind. You are a priest forever. Who is that? Who is that? See, some people teach on tithing. They think that in this dispensation, there's no need to pay tithe. They think that Aaron is dead. No problem. But we don't pay a tithe to me. Those days, we pay the tithe to the priest. And there is someone who is a priest forever. He doesn't die. The day he dies, we will stop paying tithes. So when people don't understand scripture, they confuse all of us. The tithe is supposed to be paid to the high priest. Don't say that this is Old Testament stuff. He says that someone has been made a priest under oath forever. He does not die. As long as he lives, you pay tithes to him. You pay tithes to him.
Cherish listener, you've listened to the chairman of the Church of Pentecost who spoke to the topic, the church has called out to worship. He encouraged and strengthened us who are believers to be wary of our mode of worship, as well as to those of us in leadership. on this note, in order for you to benefit and become someone who has been called out to worship and to serve, on this note, we have a Savior. We have Christ Jesus, who gives us the impetus to really transform our world and to serve God. I want to give you an opportunity to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You may say this after me. I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe He died for my sins and rose from the dead for my justification. I accept Jesus as my Lord and personal Savior. So help me God. Beloved, I encourage you to find the Church of Pentecost in any of your community and then join them and serve the Lord your God, and your life will not be the same. Should you want to reach us, kindly call 020-173-1136. I repeat, 020-173-1136. May the Lord bless and keep you. Shalom. Peace. Bye-bye.
Burning in my soul.